very evangelistic. But before we get in all that, I'm going to tell you my title, and then I've got a couple of jokes for you, so hopefully you will enjoy that. My title this morning is Spreading the Kingdom. Spreading the Kingdom. Let that sink in for a moment. And then, so my first joke, on the ark, Noah probably got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right. What was the first meat mentioned in the Bible? When Noah took Ham into the ark. Who was the greatest financier in the Bible? Noah. He was floating his stock while everyone else was in liquidation. Hopefully you got a little bit of enjoyment out of those. But if you'll stand with me for the reading of the word, turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 16 and verse number 16. Luke 16 and 16. As you're turning there, it is great to see everybody here. We had a great turnout. Sunday school went great. So thank God for that. Amen. Say amen if you have it. Oh me if you don't. I'll give you just a second. You better hurry up. Luke 16 and verse number 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Presseth into it. If you will pray with me that God will anoint me and touch me this morning, that he will work and speak through me, that you may receive the word that he would have to give. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus, anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Cover me in your presence, dear God. Mighty God, I want you to speak through me. I'm just a willing vessel, dear God. Have your will, have your way. Speak to the hearts and minds and souls of everyone here, dear God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all power in heaven and earth is in that name. We would praise you and worship you with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, with all of our strengths, to spread this gospel to every nation, to every creature under heaven. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place strong this morning. Give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. God has victory for you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever your situation, whatever is going on, God has victory for you. Go to it in the name of Jesus. Go to it in the name of Jesus. Don't back down. Don't give the devil any room. You have victory in the name of Jesus. You don't have to be lied to anymore. You don't have to be lied to anymore. You have victory in the name of Jesus. There is no devil that can withstand the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. The devils tremble at the mere mention of the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. I want to preach to you this morning on spreading the kingdom. I know I've talked about evangelism. I know I've talked about spreading the gospel. I know I've talked about witnessing before. But I want to talk to you something about that God has been laying on my heart, and that something when I went over with my notes is pressing the kingdom. Every man presseth into it. Well, you see, when you go to tell somebody about Jesus, when you go to tell somebody about how good he is, what he's done for you, when you go to tell them about the wonderful name of Jesus and his healing, delivering power, when you go to tell somebody about that, when you begin to spread the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter who they are, what their situation is, what they've dealt with in their past, they're going to press into it. They can't resist it. Because when they hear the name of Jesus, you begin to tell them about God's goodness, when you begin to tell them, when they see you in action, when they see you, when you see you doing something for God, when they see you living the lifestyle, when they see you walking the walk, you're living for God with all of your heart. Yes, you make mistakes, but you're doing your best to live for God. When they see that, they press into it. They want what you have, but more than that, they're trying to dig in and find out exactly what makes you tick. This person is different. This person has something a little different than me. What is it? How can I get a hold of it? And they begin to press. And they begin to press. They begin to dig through whatever they can get through to try to find exactly what it is that makes you tick. Exactly what it is that makes you different. They'll begin to ask you questions. They'll begin to say, well, what makes you different? What is it that you have that these other churches don't have? I'll give the answer to that name right there, that right there. It's the name of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. It's above every name, higher than any other name. So they'll begin to ask you questions. What makes you do what you do? What church do you go to? I want what you have. Tell me how I can get a hold of it. You see that a common misperception in Christianity is that the people around us, when they see you, they look at us as strange and weird, and they don't want what we have. It's a misperception. Every single person you come across and you begin to tell them about Jesus, they press into it. They may resist it, but they can't resist it for long. They begin to press into what you're talking about. If you keep on working on them, Brother Nathaniel Usher preached a message about the snow, how the snow begins to build on their head and more and more and more until finally their layer of protection from the cold, their insulation breaks and all the snow falls on them. No matter how much they resist it, eventually it's going to break through. So basically what I'm urging you to do is that don't give up on the people you've been witnessing to. Don't give up on them. Don't say they're a lost cause because they haven't received it in the first couple of times you've talked about it. Don't give up on them if they haven't received it, if they don't believe in it. Just keep on pressing. Keep on pressing. Keep on giving them the word, and it will go through. They begin to accept it more and more each time you talk about it. They begin to become more and more curious. They become more and more hungry for what you have to say. And they begin to press into it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pray with me for a moment. I love you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Mark 16 and 50, and he said unto them, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't matter who they are, what their occupation is. They are all children of God. And they are hungry. They are hungry. No, let me correct myself. They're starving. You see, when they see somebody that is genuinely happy, when they see someone that has genuine enjoyment in their life, that isn't plagued by regrets, that isn't daily thinking about there's nothing more to life than just getting up and doing the daily grind. You see that they see that they're missing something. They have no fulfillment in life. They live daily life with nothing more than just their daily distractions. You see, the way that people cope with life, the way that people make it through their daily lives, the way that people actually exist in this world is distraction. They find as many distractions as they can to get their mind off of what they've done in their past, what they're dealing with now, the things they can't get rid of, the people they've hurt, the people that's abandoned them. So they do whatever they can to get distracted from it. You have people that are turning to alcohol so just that they can forget for a moment. Just forget for a moment what is going on in their life. You have people that can't stand it anymore. The alcohol is just a short-term fix. The distractions are no longer there, and then they begin to think of committing suicide. They have nothing to live for anymore. Let me tell you something. We have something to live for. We should spread it as much as we can. They'll press into it because they want something to live for. They don't want death. They don't want eternal destruction. What they want is Jesus. They don't know what they want yet. They don't know what they're looking for, but they know there's something out there that can fulfill them. They know there's something out there that they can get a hold of. I urge you. It's an urgent request. It's something that if I say anything to you, I want you to get a hold of. It's this. Get a hold of your world. Shake it upside down. Turn your world upside down. Let them see how crazy you can be for Jesus. Let them see exactly how dedicated, how fanatical you can be. A holy roller. Yes, I'm a holy roller. I'm fanatical about what I'm doing. Yes, I'm fanatical. There's people out there that are being fanatical about something that isn't even fulfilling to them. There's people that are killing themselves because they want to fulfill what they call their religion. There's people out there that are fanatical about what they do. They're willing to put their life on the line. They're willing to put their families on the line for something that doesn't even fulfill them. But yet, we see that the number one growing religion in the United States and all over the world is the Muslim religion. If you look at the numbers, I do not remember the exact numbers, but it's something like, I can't remember, 12 million Muslims in the world today. It's because they're fanatical. It's because they have got a desire on their heart, because if they spread the gospel, their gospel, if they spread their religion, then they are supposed to get something great and wonderful. But yet as Christians, it isn't enough just the idea of heaven. We need more motivation. But let me tell you something, the numbers of Christianity, and this is not even one God Christianity. This is just so-called Christianity. It's 2 million. 2 million people that is so-called Christians. 12 million people that are so-called Muslims. Let me tell you something. They're fanatical about what they're doing. And if we as a church, if we as a Christianity, if we as a Pentecostal group get together and get fanatical about what we're doing, if we get fanatical about Jesus, if we get fanatical about the sheep, the lost sheep, if we get fanatical about it, we can see our numbers rise astronomically. We have something that can't fulfill. We have the Holy Ghost on our side. We have something that can change their life. We have something that can deliver them from addiction. We have something that can heal their bodies. We have something that can heal you from cancer. We have something that can heal you from depression. We have something that can heal you from the things of your life. But let me tell you something. If we're fanatical, we will see a great revival. Hallelujah. You see, once they get into the church, it eats on them, because when they feel the Holy Ghost, when they see the Holy Ghost, it's then that something happens. You see, when people are beginning, when they come into church and they're seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost, they see people dancing, they see people shouting, all of a sudden the yearn on their heart gets so great. Because they know those people have something that is powerful, something that is delivering, something that is holy. And they want it. Yes, they fight it. Yes, they'll do as much as they can to push it away, to distract themselves from the real thing. But they want it with all their heart. Acts 9 and 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You see, when you're walking, when you come into church, you get in here and you get a hold of that Holy Ghost, you're comforted. It is the comforter that was sent by Jesus to comfort us until he comes back. And you see, nobody in this world has comfort. They're not comforted because they have no peace. But when they come here and they see somebody shouting in the Holy Ghost, they feel that comfort. They feel that because they know that that person is receiving something that is special, something that they want. So you see that once you get them into the church, then they're worked on day in and day out. So it's not like that you're saving them yourself, because you're not. You're spreading this and they begin to dig into it. And then when they get into the house of God, they get digging deeper and deeper and deeper until they can't live another day until they have the Holy Ghost. And I'm closing. Luke 16 and verse number 17. And it is easier for the heaven and earth to pass away than one title of the law to fail. And I'm going off on a little rabbit trail here. The word title, I looked it up in the dictionary because I wanted to make sure I knew exactly what it meant. It means a tiny or scarcely detectable amount. A tiny or almost undetectable amount. So, in one tiny portion of the law, It cannot fail. Not even a tiny portion. Heaven and earth, it'd be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one title of the law to fail. So let me tell you something, because the Bible talks about how that this is in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. He talks about how there's going to be a great revival. But we have to grab onto that. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for the law to fail, and we have a promise. If we latch on to the promises of God, if we latch on to the promises that God has given us, then we have nothing to fear. We know that there will be revival. We know that there will be a moving of the Holy Ghost. No matter what happens, if we hold on to the promises of God, then we will see victory. We will see revival. Just a rabbit trail there. And I know that this church has been under attack. I know it has, because I personally have been under attack. Each and every one of you are dealing with a different battle, and it's no less terrible or no less hard than the ones that the other people are fighting. But let me tell you that the Bible talks about, and it gives us a promise, that all things work together for the good to those that love him and those that are called according to his purpose. So no matter what the trial, just the devil fighting against you, no matter what it is, I assure you, it will work out for God's glory and for your good, and that you will see victory, and that you will be happier than you've been before. Because let me tell you something, God always comes through. His promises are true. Not one title of the law will fail. Not one small portion of the law will fail, and his promises are true. If you will stand with me and begin to pray that God will help you get a hold of and become fanatical about this faith.